So we're going to have our first reading now. I'm going to refer to both readings today. So I don't know if you want to find a bookmark or something, but it's Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 to 9, and it can be found on page 742 in the Pew Bibles.
Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labour on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendour. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. So if our knees allow, we remain standing for our gospel reading.
The gospel is taken from Luke 13, verses 1 to 9. Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered in this way? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you too will perish." Or those 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? Again, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you too will all perish. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree, and I haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and I'll fertilize it. And if it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. Thank you, Matthew. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. People sometimes caricature the Old Testament as nothing but a fierce, vengeful God, and imagine the New Testament as lovely. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, comes along and tells us not to worry about all that wrath and judgment in the Old Testament, and just to be kind to each other. You've heard that sort of thing, haven't you? Maybe you've said something like that. You know, Old Testament, nasty, Jesus, nice. The idea is very persistent, but it's also very unlikely. It underestimates the brilliance and richness of the Old Testament. The God of the Old Testament is clearly a God both of love and justice. even though there's much more to say about that. And there's plenty in the New Testament about judgment and sin. If Jesus was simply entirely charming and delightful and inoffensive, it would be hard to see why anyone would bother to crucify Mr. Nice, wouldn't it? Jesus was, of course, the kindest and most compassionate person who ever lived, but he also really irritated people. He was extremely controversial. He said many things which are difficult, challenging, and upsetting. So our readings today challenge those stereotypes of Old and New Testament. Our Old Testament reading gives us a gracious invitation, and our New Testament reading warns us of the judgment to come. Both readings, in fact, speak of the kindness and generosity of God and call us to respond in repentance and faith. There's an underlying unity between Old and New Testament, between our readings today, which is hardly surprising because both Old and New Testament are the words of the one God, who is a God both of love and justice, generosity and holiness, kindness and judgment. There is one fundamental message of the Bible that we are called to come to God as we are, but that we're not called to stay as we are. We're called to humility and change, to leave aside all that we know to be wrong, and to be made more like Jesus by his gracious work in us, by the power of his Holy Spirit. So let's look at our readings in turn, starting with Isaiah 55, which is on page 742. It seems, in fact, that there is such a thing as a free lunch. In fact, not only a free lunch, but a feast, an abundant and satisfying one, a sumptuous one, did our psalm say. Word I must use more, this is sumptuous. And it's something for all who thirst, which is all of us, isn't it? We're invited, even if we have no money. This is not an exclusive, VIP-only event. It's open to all who will come. Here is grace for the destitute and bankrupt, for the needy and empty-handed, those who will admit their lack of resources and who will humbly come. We are to come, buy and eat, though we have no money. And on the menu is water, wine and milk. There's nothing mean or tight-fisted here, is there? God doesn't offer the bare essentials. Water is what they really need, isn't it? They're parched and thirsty. God would give them water. They'd live. They'd be delighted. It would be the difference between life and death. But there's also wine and milk. Here is something rich and abundant and overflowing, far more than we could possibly need. God is not there kind of grudgingly doling out the prison rations. He's throwing a party. And what's offered is wholesome bread, which is really good and satisfying, rather than some fake, insubstantial alternative, which we often chase after, but which leaves us still hungry. This is a theological Sunday roast with all the trimmings, not a Big Mac and fries. Listening to God, we may delight in the richest of fare, and our souls will live. Here is a God who keeps his promises through the Davidic Messiah, the long-promised rescuer king, who will summon the nations, a faithful, loving, covenant-keeping God who will fulfil his purposes for the whole world. We're repeatedly told that this offer really is free. But it isn't cheap. It isn't automatic. The whole point of this passage is that it calls for a response. It's not just listen to my words and then go away and forget them. In the Bible, hearing, paying attention, listening, doing go together. If you'll really hear, you'll do. We're called to receiving, seeking, coming, not just admiring from a distance or being mildly interested. It's no good simply to have heard the invitation or even to have that beautiful invitation card on our mantelpiece. We have to actually come to receive the invitation to respond. And the implication is that the offer may not be open forever. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. This holy, separate, splendid God, whose thoughts are higher than our thoughts, is also near. So there could be no better day than today to come to him. Why not now in this service, or the moment you get home? One day this free offer may no longer be open. You may never have a better opportunity to come. We are to forsake our wicked ways and our evil thoughts and call on God for his mercy, for he will freely pardon. God is more than ready to forgive. There's nothing grudging or reluctant about his mercy. He calls us and seeks us and has made a way for us. And he says to us, come. God's gracious invitation. And we can see that by implication in our gospel reading too, but in a context which speaks of pain and suffering. The Bible is always realistic. It doesn't shy away from the brokenness of our world, which we can see all around us and in the news headlines. The gospel reading was Luke 13 on page 1046. Our reading isn't make-believe or let's pretend, but a facing of the grim reality of human wickedness. Some people mentioned to Jesus the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus, of course, was a Galilean too. We don't know anything else about this incident, but we do know that Pilate was quite murdery, so this is the kind of thing that Pilate might well have done. These Galileans were apparently devout, going about their religious duty, offering their sacrifices, and they get killed. Why do bad things happen to good people, we might ask. Jesus says that these people weren't especially bad sinners, and he says, in effect, that disaster may befall any of us at any time. Many people understandably ask how a loving God could allow suffering. It's a very good question, but it's not really one which Jesus answers here, or at least he doesn't try to provide a full explanation. He does say, don't assume that there's a straight line between sin and suffering. It's not as if God looks around, sees the worst sinners, and zaps them with the worst suffering. Jesus says, no, it doesn't work like this, that. But Jesus gives us all a warning of judgment to come. Remember that Jesus is the most loving, wisest person who ever lived. And then look again at verse 5. Unless you repent, Jesus says, you too will all perish. Unless you repent, you too will all perish. It's very serious and stark, isn't it? And if it's true, of course it is loving of Jesus to warn us. You know, if I were to shout out now, fire! You might find it rather upsetting. It would disturb you. There would be a crush for the door and paperwork. But if the building really was on fire, it would be the right and loving thing to do, wouldn't it? Even if it's a little bit uncomfortable. Jesus brings up the Tower of Siloam collapsing and killing people. And perhaps he has in mind here the fall of Jerusalem, when the temple would be destroyed by the Romans in AD 70. That disaster is coming on the people of God who've largely failed to recognize Jesus as their Messiah and to repent. The fig tree and the vineyard are sometimes used as pictures of the people of God in the Old Testament. So here we can imagine God caring for his people Israel, his fig tree. He comes for 3 years looking for fruit on it. And we might bear in mind that Jesus' ministry seems to have lasted 3 years. Will Israel be faithful and respond to Jesus with repentance and faith? Well, says Jesus, give Israel the fig tree one more chance. Give it every opportunity. Dig round it. I assume that's meant to be helpful to it. I have no gardening expertise, but fertilise it. And in one more year, see if it produces fruit. And if not, cut it down. Jesus would say to us all, too, one day you're going to die and to face judgment. Unless you repent, you too will perish. Now is the time of opportunity. Now is our chance to repent. This is the uncomfortable but clear and consistent message of the Bible. It is possible to be entirely lost and eternally ruined. It's also possible to have real spiritual life and blessing, to be transformed and renewed, to produce fruit in keeping with repentance. This side of heaven will never be sinlessly perfect, but we can really have the life of Jesus in us, changing us, giving us a measure of spiritual health and fruitfulness. Pilate will again soon be involved with Jesus, the Galilean, who would give his own blood in sacrifice, that we might be forgiven and not perish. The weight of God's judgment will fall on him, so we might be forgiven. So we face a choice as we reflect on these readings. Will we concern ourselves not so much with the real or imagined sins of others, nor with how we think God ought to run the universe. But will we admit our own sin and turn to Jesus, ask him to have mercy on us, to forgive us, to help us to be fruitful and to go his way? God warns us, but he also woos us. He graciously calls us to come to him for free forgiveness, for life and satisfaction and blessing. How will you respond to the word of God today? I want to finish just by reading again some of the words from our Old Testament lesson. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labour on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. And so to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, be all honour and power and glory, now and forever. Amen.